Hi, I'm Julie Mackin, and welcome to More Civil Societies. And look, really, I promise, I will eventually move on from the federal election campaign. But it's such a rich vein to mine if we're about making this country kind of fairer and kinder and smarter, that I reckon it needs a little more scrutiny for what it can teach us about us. But, you know, one day, dog bone, I will eventually drop it. But this week, I want to point out that three critical existential conundrums were left swinging in the breeze as the results rolled in and Anthony Green pronounced the Coalition the winner. They're climate change, the treatment of refugees, and First Nation recognition. This was allegedly, according to a number of media outlets, the climate change election. And the timing was pretty important because the nation is confronting a rolling drought that's devastating farming communities and wildlife alike. In fact, Sydney celebrated the arrival of winter by introducing water restrictions for the first time in a decade. And the science is very clear that carbon emissions are rising, particularly in Australia. And the climate is, as a consequence of that, becoming hotter and charged with more energy. That extra energy is driving increasingly wild weather. We are nearly out of time to protect our species from runaway global heating. Likewise, the stakes remain matters of life and death for refugees caught up in our brutal offshore detention regime. Post-election, there have been over 20 men making serious attempts on their own lives on Manus Island because they know the Coalition will make life even harder for them. They understand that their bodies are used as human shields to protect us from our own anxiety. And lastly, the recognition of First Nation people in our constitution and the need for truth-telling as we re-examine the colonisation of this country and ask ourselves who paid the price for white Australia's occupation of this land. These three historic demands were not given anything like the care or attention they deserve. I mean, yeah, climate change was mentioned, but neither of the major political parties have come close to dealing with the facts of the matter. I mean, obviously, Labor is better than the Coalition, but that is a very low hurdle. We have yet to see any political party produce a whole-of-government response to this crisis that includes a fair transition for workers, a supported transition out of damaging land use practices, and we haven't seen anything like serious research money go into working out how to take 25 million of us safely to the other side of this transition, let alone the landscape and the wildlife. Refugees are despairing because both parties are committed to mandatory, indefinite and arbitrary offshore detention controlled by private corporations. The very circumstance that has given rise to the cruel, inhumane and torturous conditions currently in place. And finally, the statement from the heart, that extraordinary document that contains so much wisdom and compassion and strategy, got next to no airtime at all during the election. This is cause for despair for a lot of people, but I want to offer a small glimmer of hope based on a read of history. And by history, I mean like longer than 2 weeks ago. I mean at least the last 50 years. What that history teaches us is that change has never come from the political class. Certainly in the end, the political class has to be forced to get out of the way. And eventually politicians also need to see that to be re-elected, they have to support these changes. But real change never starts there and it never has. It always starts at the margins among people who can imagine a different path. It starts with dreamers and activists and artists and those who are suffering the consequence of a lack of empathy and imagination. In our case, that will mean that farmers, teachers, nurses, doctors, lawyers, small business owners, traditional owners, and everyone who really believes we are our brother's keepers. The impacts of climate change, the truth of First Nation sovereignty, and the foulness of our brutal regime will eventually force even conservative, fearful, cruel politicians that it's in their interest to act on these three existential issues, not because they want to, but because they have to. Getting to that point is where you and I come in. We keep dreaming, protesting, demanding better, and investigating. And most of all, we don't lose our capacity to be deeply offended by laissez-faire corruption and cruelty. So our job continues. We continue to write stories, we listen to truth-telling, we call out the lies and the liars. We use our dollars to vote our values, and in that way we buy and don't buy what seems to support an ethical life, frankly. We maintain our demand for a better country. And we do all of this because these issues are too important to be left to the likes of Australia's political class. So if we have any hope at all for a better place, you know, at this stage, dear listener, we are talking about a place that can sustain life ongoingly. That hope has got to reside with us, with what we are willing to do, with what we are willing to no longer kind of cop. It's a big job. Frankly, I was hoping for an easy solution, but it hasn't been forthcoming. So in the absence of that, it's down to you and I.